Hey, Rebels Look Alliance Church, good to be with you again. We're continuing on with our sermon series called Encounters with Jesus. And what we're doing each Sunday this summer is we're looking through the Gospel of John, and each week we read about an encounter that Jesus had with different people. And this helps us a few different ways. This helps us understand a lot about who God is, in lots of different situations in different ways, both by seeing what Jesus did and also what he taught. And also it looks at humans and how humans related to Jesus and reacted with him. We've seen him so far instruct Nicodemus, the Pharisee. We've watched Jesus interact with the Samaritan woman at the well. We've traveled up to Galilee with him as he healed the king's official's son with just his words. And we've seen him feed thousands of people with just a few small loaves of bread and a couple of fish. So far, we've seen Jesus being caring and compassionate, truthful, bold, direct, gentle, even provocative at times. This week, we will look at his interaction with some Jews who were struggling to figure out who Jesus was, even though they believed that he was a miracle worker. So they believed he was a miracle worker, but they were trying to figure out who exactly was he. And we're going to see Jesus this time be even more direct than he has been to date. More direct in exposing the spiritual realities going on around him, and more direct about who he is. So here we go, John chapter 8, and we're starting at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" So, there's lots to learn right out of the gate this week. Jesus is teaching a group of Jews who, it says, believed Jesus. And Jesus said, if, important that word if here, if you hold to my teachings, you really are my disciples. So Jesus is ramping up in this conversation to expose a few things. Who it is that really believes him, what it means to be part of God's people, how do you become part of God's people, and what are the consequences of not being part of God's people. So we're going to look at all of these things in this conversation. He's going to be telling them the truth in order to be set free. But this particular group do not think they need to be set free. And you see, a big part of the discussion this week is all about identity, which of course is a huge question of our culture today. How do I figure out who I am? What is the defining traits of my identity? Does my ethnicity define my identity? Does my nationality define my identity? Does my political affiliations define my identity? Does my gender define my identity? Do my sexual preferences define my identity? Who am I? So Jesus, while talking to this group of Jews, told them what seemed to be a non-threatening statement, at least initially. Hold to my teaching and you'll be my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But the crowd took umbrage at this. What do you mean, set you free? We aren't slaves. We're already free. So they took Jesus' words in a very literal sense. They said, we are Abraham's descendants. That's their identity, their main identity markers. And then they said, and we've never been slaves to anyone. Which, by the way, they really don't know their own history that well, this group of people, because if you read the Old Testament, they've been slaves to literally everyone. They were slaves in Egypt to Pharaoh. They were slaves in Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar. And they're currently, at least, if not slaves, then certainly servants of the Roman Empire and Caesar. So it's not true that they are entirely free. So, but anyway, put that to the side. So their statement, far from accurate, but the conversation that is about to unfold zeroes in on who is and who is not an actual descendant of Abraham And what also actually defines our gender? And a clue, it is not ethnicity. It defines our identity. And a clue, it is not ethnicity or gender or political views or any of those other things. Verse 34, Jesus replied, very truly. Now, that's really important. Anytime you read that in the Bible, very truly or truly, truly, depending on your English translation, that is like an underscore. That's like all caps bold in the original Greek. That word is repeated in the Greek, and that repetition is therefore extreme emphasis. So anytime you read in an English translation of your Bible, either truly, truly, or very truly, you got to take note. That's like being emphasized. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. All right, so Jesus here speaks the truth. He doesn't shy away from speaking it. He doesn't spare their feelings in speaking the truth. Why or why not? Well, if you imagine you went to a doctor for some tests because you were having a hard time breathing. I thought of this because of all the smoke that we have from the forest fires in 2021 in August in Revelstoke, so that's why I'm using this example. You go to the doctors for some tests because you're having a hard time breathing. The doctor runs the test and it comes back, all the test results come back, that you have lung cancer. But the doctor doesn't want to tell you that. So in her office, she sits you down, she shifts around nervously and says, you have asthma. Take a puffer twice a day for a week and you should be fine. What would you say about such a doctor? You would say that she is unprofessional, for sure. Incompetent, yup. Uncaring, yeah. She's put her own discomfort ahead of actually caring for the patient. But Jesus wasn't like that. He put the needs of the people ahead of his own comfort. Always. He spoke the truth, even though he knew it would eventually cost them his very life. And Jesus is about to wield a spiritual scalpel, as it were, here. He knows that his patient will not receive the treatment well, but he goes ahead anyway because he knows it is necessary. Verse 37. Jesus said, I know you're Abraham's descendants. So he's saying, yes, you're physically descended from Abraham. Continues, yet you're looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in my father's presence, and you're doing what you have heard from your father. Well, Abraham is our father, they answered. Well, if you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who's told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Now, the reason why this was such a huge deal for those people is that way back in the book of Genesis, in the first book of the Bible, Abraham entered into a covenant with God, like a binding relationship agreement that God would, on his side, bless and protect Abraham, while Abraham, on his side, would obey and worship God. And Abraham was promised three things as part of this covenant. Promised that he would become a father of a great nation, that's Israel, that that nation would receive land to live in, the promised land, and that kings would be part of his descendants. And Abraham was known as the father of Israel. In the Bible, he's called the father of Israel. In fact, God is even introduced quite often in the Old Testament as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's his son and his grandson. So being Abraham's descendant is a big deal because that means you have a place in the promised land and a place in the covenant of God's people. As part of God's nation, so it defines their identity. And they said, no, we're Abraham's descendants. And Jesus said, yes, you are physically descended from Abraham, but You're not his children. Instead, you have another father. Now, we're not quite sure what that means yet. We haven't come to that part of the conversation. But Jesus is saying that your family tree is not the defining factor in your identity. That there's something else going on here, that they have a different father, a different identity that overrides and supersedes their birth certificate. Jesus is about to pull back the spiritual curtain and show them who their spiritual father is, and thus what their identity actually is. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Wow, now that is tough to hear. It's even hard to read out, particularly if you're convinced that your heritage as a child of Abraham defines your identity and rubber stamps your passport to heaven. Jesus is telling them exactly what he told Nicodemus, if you remember back in John chapter 3, that you must be born again. That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit, and the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You don't get to inherit the kingdom of God just because you happen to be born in the right family. Jesus isn't being deliberately mean by telling them their father is the devil. He's telling them the truth. He's given them a cancer diagnosis. You see, when the devil deceived Adam and Eve to disobey God back in Genesis, you know, the first few chapters, when they sinned, every human born after them has been ruined by a sinful nature. We're born with it. It is in our spiritual DNA. Humans went from being made purely in the image of God with an unbroken relationship with God to being born sinful under the spiritual dominion of Satan. Elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus says that Satan will be judged and cast into hell along with everyone else who is a sinner, which is everyone who has ever lived, because we are all sinners. And that's the problem. Jesus is boiling our identity down to two categories. Not Jew and Samaritan, not male or female. Two categories. Unrepentant sinner, whose father is Satan, or a forgiven sinner, whose father is God. Yes, being one of the physical children of Abraham had some advantages. You would know more about God. You would have experienced the temple. You would know the Ten Commandments. You would have read the prophets. So it has some advantages. But Jesus is saying here very directly that just because you were born a descendant of Abraham did not automatically make you a child of God. You still had to follow God. You still had to be a disciple of Jesus. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 9, verse 6. He said, "For not all who are descended from Israel are Israel." Not all who are descended physically from Israel are spiritually Israel. Now, Jesus doesn't want to offend just for the sake of offending. Just like the doctor with the cancer diagnosis, Jesus is telling the truth so that they have a chance of repenting and being set free from the bondage of sin and Satan. Let's look again, verses 42 to 44. We already read this, but let's read it again. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own, God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Satan is a murderer and a liar, and Satan was provoking the crowd to follow through on those two things, to lie about Jesus at the illegal trial, and then to have him murdered. And so they were following through with lies and murder. Now Jesus is willing to go to death, willing to die, so that sin will be defeated and that we will have an opportunity to be forgiven and set free. And he's doing the crowd a favor by exposing what is going on in the spiritual realm. By calling them out, he's actually giving them a chance to repent, to turn around and be free. Well, how do you think they reacted to being called the children of Satan? Not good. Who would? Verse 48, the Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I'm not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, and yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" That's what Jesus is actually trying to tell them, exactly who he is. They're like, "Who do you think you are, Jesus?" And Jesus is like, "I'm trying to tell you who I am. Are you greater than Abraham, Jesus?" Their identity was so wrapped up in this idea of being physically descended from Abraham that they couldn't see or hear what Jesus was actually saying to them. Their pride was wounded, they lashed out. And also notice, he didn't deny that they were plotting to lie about and kill Jesus. They were just mad that Jesus told them that the issue they were building their identity around was not the deciding factor when it came to their standing and their relationship with God. Jesus replied, verse 54, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I didn't, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him and obey him. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." Now, obviously, as we've understood by this point, the crowd saw themselves as being the children of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, the inheritors of the promises to Abraham. And Jesus said, "Well, you're not. Instead, you're children of the devil, because Satan's character is evident in your own character. You take after Satan," Jesus said, "not Abraham." And then Jesus blows their mind even more with a statement that is worthy of the best travel sci-fi out there. You know, if you do time travel science fiction, if you like that stuff, those movies and TV shows and books, time travel science fiction, Jesus is talking about some kind of time travel stuff here. "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." This was not going to end well. Another negative reaction. Verse 57. "You are not even yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly." "Oh, truly, truly. Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." "You're not even 50," they said, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Before Abraham was born, I am." Now that is a strange sentence structure. "Before Abraham was born, I am." Was Jesus getting his grammar mixed up? No. It is one of the seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. I am in Hebrew is Yahweh, God's name that he revealed to Moses at the burning bush. And the seven times throughout the book of John that Jesus applies this I am to himself. Jesus has just said, in fact, "I was around long before Abraham because I am, in fact, Yahweh, the great I am, God himself. I am he." So now we've got a crowd that's been told the identity they thought would get them into God's good books won't. In fact, their identity is much worse than they thought. They're not only not children of Abraham, they're children of Satan. And the person telling them this has just said that he is God himself. So what do you think their final reaction would be? Falling down in repentance, maybe? Proclaiming Jesus as God, maybe? No, verse 59. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Quite a dramatic interaction all around. So what are the lessons that we learned today about Jesus, about us, about, you know, the interaction? Well, here Jesus reveals plainly his identity. He is Yahweh. He is God. He is the creator of the universe. He's the I Am. Before Abraham was, I am. So straight up proclaimed it. He is God. That's who he is. We also learned that Jesus loves people enough to tell them the truth. Now that's really comforting, that he is God, he's the creator, and he'll be the judge of everyone, that the God of the universe is both love and truth. Not only is he just love without any truth, that'd be like sentimentalism. Not only is he truth without any love, that would just be harsh judgmentalism. He is love and truth combined. That's who he is. That's what we see the picture of Jesus. Compassion and love, and yet true and direct. Other thing that we learned today, that we've learned in the previous sermons as well. People generally get mad with Jesus when he tells them the truth. It cuts into their identity that they've built up about themselves. It wounds their pride. People get mad at Jesus. And we also learned that your identity in the eyes of God is not defined by your gender, ethnicity, nationality, preferences, or desires. That is not who you are, not before God. Your identity at its core boils down to one single question. Who is your father? Is it God or is it the devil? Who will you follow? Whose disciple will you be? Are you an unrepentant sinner or are you a repentant, forgiven sinner? Because we're all sinners. We all fall short. None of us are perfect. All of us have messed it up. And so are you an unrepentant sinner hanging on, or are you a repentant and forgiven sinner? Unrepentant sinners, father is Satan. Repentant, forgiven sinners, father is God. That's the two categories that our identity is based on, according to Jesus. 1 Peter 2 puts it this way. This is Peter describing it. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you, writing to Christians, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, out of having the devil being your father into God being your father. God has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So those are your only two real choices for your identity. Everything else is a smokescreen. Everything else is a diversion. And that is the truth. And just as Jesus said, the truth will set you free.